Welcome to Tangled Hearts, where we explore the complexities of relationships with honesty and empathy. While I am a certified relationship and intimacy coach, please note that the content shared on this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. The advice and discussions presented here are not a substitute for professional counseling or therapy. Remember to always seek personalized guidance for your specific situation. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Tangled Hearts podcast. My name is Bobby V and I will be your host. I am a certified relationship and intimacy coach with over 23 years of experience, and just wanted to say, this is episode 2, but in all actuality, it's actually episode 1 because the first one was just more of a first date, get to know me kind of a situation. So today we're actually going to be jumping into some topics about relationships. From time to time, I do want to kind of give you a heads up that we can get our language a little bit adult from time to time. And then also we can talk about sex, sexual situations, and intimacy issues. So if you're ever listening in the car with your littles, you might want to take that into consideration and put in some headphones. Today is not one of those topics. We will try to keep it PG for today. And today, the title is Communication 101, Know Thyself. Yeah, know thyself. So this is kind of one of those things that I love to talk to people about because it seems like in today's world, we get all caught up with looking at everyone else. And when we do talk about ourselves, it's more of a, I deserve this, I am entitled to this, I want this, you know, and less of a pointing a finger at myself. We love to point the finger at others, but we hate to point the finger at ourselves. But really, in order for a healthy relationship to thrive, we really have to look at ourselves. Because let's be honest, we cannot change other people as much as we would love to, as much as I would love to, we just can't. That's just not going to happen. And so today we're going to talk about how to get to know ourselves a little bit better so that we can love our partners a little bit better. Now, and I don't know, so if you haven't caught on to this, I'm a little bit different than most relationship coaches. Most relationship coaches, they have like a really soft voice and they're just going to say, and how do you feel about that? And just ask you a lot of, you know, probing questions and just sit there and look at you and nod a lot. Yeah, I'm not that. I'm a little bit loud. I'm a biker. Me and my boys, we hop on the Harleys. I am tatted from head to toe. So yeah, I try to keep my language as good as I possibly can. And I will do that for this episode because I think that this is an episode that doesn't matter how old you are, what kind of relationship you're in, or what relationship you're looking for. This is going to be advantageous for everybody. And I don't care if it's a boss-employee relationship or a coworker relationship or a romantic relationship or a parent-child relationship. This applies to all of them. Every single relationship you have, we're going to talk about something that can help you immediately in all of your relationships. The one thing that I've always hated about most counselors, most coaches, is, you know, they'll say the two most important things in any relationship is trust and communication. And they're absolutely right. That is absolutely 100%. Trust and communication, the most important. Trust, I get. Trust is earned. Trust is built over time. Communication, they're like, yeah, communication is so important. And then they leave it at that. They drop you like a bad habit and you're left saying, what the hell? Like, I mean, come on, how? How do I communicate for crying out loud? Like what? And because people just often will sit there and say, oh, you just use your words. Just use your words. No, come on. Seriously? So today I'm going to start off with a few basics of communicating effectively. And I'm going to give you this. What I'm going to tell you today is going to be a foundation for everything going forward. You're going to hear me say in future episodes, refer back to episode 2. because this is going to lay a foundation that you're going to be able to build on to help any relationship that you're in get better. Okay. So part one, know thyself. And what do I mean by that? Know thyself is actually an old Latin term. And I wish I was smart enough to be able to tell you that I knew who it was. I actually remember it from the movie The Matrix, the very first one, the best one. And I just remember when Neo walked into the Oracle's kitchen, she was baking the cookies. You remember this? And she had him turn around and look at the sign above the kitchen door. And it was written in Latin and it says, know thyself. And then she said, you know, who do you think, you know, do you think that you're the one? And he said, I don't know. So anyway, I'm not going to get off on that tangent because I can go for hours on The Matrix by itself. So how can you communicate your wants, needs, and most importantly, your expectations if you don't know them yourself? We're going to focus on expectations since this seems to be the relationship killer most often. I hear people all the time say, we just fell out of love, or I just don't feel the spark, or I don't feel the passion. 90% of the time, I would even go as high as saying 95% of the time, if whenever we root around and get down to the base of it, it's an expectations problem. You know, the growing apart, the not feeling the passion. It's an unmet expectations issue whenever it all comes down to it. So when I got married, I found myself with unknown expectations. Those were expectations that I didn't even realize I had. I didn't even know where these expectations came from at first. I expected my spouse, and from now on, just so you know, I'm going to call her spouse right now at first, but from now on, I'm going to call her my wife because she absolutely hates it whenever I call her my spouse because she says that sounds way too formal and unfamiliar. She goes, I am your wife. Call me that, damn it. I'm like, okay, you got it. So I expected my wife to just know things, and I expected that she had the same expectations as me. I didn't even think that her upbringing, her past relationships, her favorite movies and her shows had her expecting things completely different than me. And so, yeah, I started on this exploration whenever after she and I almost got divorced and a counselor told us, just give up. Just walk away. Yeah, you don't, you know, you two just don't belong together. You don't have any children together. So it's okay. Just walk away from each other. And we both are just obstinate, stubborn individuals. And we looked at each other and said, nope, not going to happen. So we start digging in deep. We found a program at our church that helped us walk through some things. And I start digging deep into like, what expectations did I have? And I'm just going to kind of walk you through the process that it's worked for me. It's worked for everybody that I've coached. It's worked for thousands of people all over the place. Every time I talk to somebody that says, man, we were on the verge of divorce, whether I helped them or somebody else helped them, whenever we get down to it, they're like, yeah, I finally figured out what my expectations were and I was able to finally communicate it to my partner and things just changed. So how do you find out what your expectations are? This is just a general overview. We'll dig deeper into this over the coming months, years, decades of this podcast, I hope. But these are some helpful tips to help get you started on your path of self-discovery. But step one, absolutely step one, get a journal, a notebook, a piece of paper you can write on and keep somewhere safe that you can add to. I prefer a journal because I like to look back from time to time and see my growth or atrophy. I mean, and yes, that does happen in relationships. I will have expansive growth. And then I take that muscle, that newly developed muscle, and I stop working it out. And over time, it atrophies and I have to redevelop that muscle all over again. So I love having a journal just because I like looking back from time to time and see what my growth and my atrophy is. Once you have a journal, And once you have a piece of paper and a pen, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself, what are my known expectations? What are my known expectations? No matter how trivial you might think your expectation is, write it down. For example, I expect my significant other to help keep the kitchen clean. Now, I know people who have this expectation who never communicate it, and until they are in the heat of an argument, and then they hit them with this unknown expectation. They'll slap them upside the head. You know, the fight is about, you know, somebody's, you know, looking at somebody of the opposite sex, and all of a sudden it is like, and you never help me clean the kitchen. Where did that come from? What? So I don't care how trivial you think your expectation is, I want you to write it down. It could be, I expect you to use the blinker every time you change lanes and I'm in the passenger seat. Because let's be honest, a lot of fights happen in the car. Especially if you are two high D on the DISC personality disorder type A individuals with control issues, such as my wife and I, our fights, 99% of our fights happen in the car. And it usually starts over her driving or my driving. And one of us will, you know, we'll develop what we call breathing problems. You know what a breathing problem is you want to say something, but you know it's going to cause a fight. So you just go, you know, it's just you develop some kind of breathing problem. You didn't say anything, but it is obvious you were not happy. So anyway, you know, I don't care how trivial you think the expectation is, write it down. Now, the next one, this one is a lot more difficult. Ask yourself, what are my unknown expectations? And you could be like, Bobby, man, if they're unknown, how can I write them down? Well, this one takes some digging. You're going to have to, you know, do some self-exploration. And I'll be honest, this one hurt me. Doing this part, this one hurt. It still hurts. I still have to do this from time to time because guess what? New unexpected expectations will arise in your life. And you didn't even realize it because relationships mature. Relationships change. And you're sitting here, you're growing as a person. You know, you're growing as an individual. Your kids are getting older. Your friends are changing. Your parents are changing. You know, my wife and I, we're dealing with aging parents right now. And, you know, that changes you. That changes your outlook on life. It changes your outlook on mortality and things. So, yeah, unexpected expectations, you know, will pop up. And this is hard. So let's kind of take this one little nibble at a time. Discovering your unknown expectations, man, say that 10 times fast. It's a lot harder and difficult to think about. So we just want to start off easy. And the way that I tell my people that I'm coaching is, what was the last fight you had with your significant other? What expectation wasn't met that led to it? And I promise you, more than likely, there is an expectation that was not met. Either you got mad at them because they did not meet an expectation you had, or they got mad at you because you did not meet an expectation they had. In this case, we're not talking about the other person. We're talking about you. So if your last fight was something that a fight that started because you did not meet the other person's expectation, and you're still sitting here going, I have no idea what I did. I don't know what I did. I don't know. One second we're sitting there watching TV, and the next thing, you know, she hates my dog, my mom, and I don't clean the kitchen for her. So I, you know, in those situations, think to another fight where you were the one who got angry at your significant other. Okay. So, you know, I'll give you a perfect example. And I was writing this script out. As I was writing it, I'm like, God, this fight was so dumb. But I'm telling you, when my wife and I, my wife is a second generation American from Spain. Her grandmother moved here from Spain. And I, when I tell you that Spaniard blood is spicy, oh, baby, in all the good ways and some of the bad ways. But I didn't say that. She's fiery. She is fiery, and I absolutely love her for it. I love her. My first wife, she and I, we were the same person. We never raised our voices. We never fought. We never argued. We never communicated is what it got came down to, is we never fought. And everybody would be like, oh, you guys just have a great marriage. And we'd look at each other like, yeah, we never fight. We don't, you know, thing is we didn't communicate at all about anything. Our communication sucked. So anyway, I'm going to tell you about this fight, that the last fight that my wife and I had. And whenever you're going to be like, oh my God, Bobby, are you serious? That's the dumbest fight I've ever heard in my life. And when I tell you, she and I were in each other's faces spewing some of the most horrific things at one another, you're going to be like, seriously? It all started because of this? So I'm just going to forewarn you. I know it's dumb. She knows it's dumb. We've both laughed about the stupid argument since then, and we've had great conversations about it, and we've grown as a couple. But I'll stop blubbering because, man, I'm really embarrassed to tell you this, but I'm just going to be transparent because that's what I like to do. So like I said, you know, we're both, if you've ever taken a DISC personality disorder, we're both Ds, which means we're both dominant personality types, and we're both type A's. So we both kind of have control issues, and we both admit it. We're working on it. We know now how to compromise and work things through, but I'm just telling you, those personality characteristics rear their ugly heads a lot. So one night, and this was, oh gosh, probably about 3 weeks, a month ago, she was working in her office and I was in the living room watching TV, and this documentary came on. I can't even tell you what the documentary. Oh, I do remember what it was on. It was something on the Titanic and the submarine that went down to see the Titanic and imploded. So anyway, there was this, I think it was ABC or, you know, NBC. One of them was doing a special on it, and it had started. And she goes, hey, I wanted to watch that too. So I stopped it and changed channels. And she was upset that I didn't hit pause and just wait for her. Now, in my head, having this argument before, I knew that she feels that the show is ruined if she hears or sees any part of it before the beginning. And so I thought I did the right thing. Wrong. Totally wrong. She was expecting me to hit pause, and she was just going to finish up her current file that she was working on and then come out and enjoy the show with me. My expectation was that she would continue working for a few hours and I was just going to go watch something else and we'd watch it together in bed later. Both expectations were valid, but neither were met. And like I said, we fought about this, and it seems silly and dumb, and it is. But it was something that led us to have another expectations conversation. If a TV show can trigger off a fight, then when I say write down all your expectations, and no matter how trivial, this is a perfect example. Because that fight went from pausing a TV show to a lot dirtier real quick. And it was all about a TV show. It was all about pause versus stop. So there are no such thing as minuscule expectations, because everything can be a trigger for all of us, okay? So once you have an argument in your head, ask yourself, what expectation did you have in that instance? How was it unmet, okay? This is the difficult part, because none of us want to call ourselves out. But then ask yourself, did I really communicate this to the other person prior to the argument, or did I assume they just knew that about me? I'm going to let that sit in for a minute. Did I really communicate this to the other person prior to the argument, or did I assume they just knew that about me? Continue down this path for as long as it takes. Honestly, this part took me almost 2 weeks to complete the first time I did it. I started going through every argument I had ever had that I could ever remember with every relationship I have ever had and asked myself those hard questions. When it was all said and done, I had, and I'm not even joking because I'm looking at the journal right now, I had about 9 pages of expectations, most of which are unrealistic expectations. Okay, we'll get into that in just a little bit. But expectations nonetheless. 9 pages of expectations I just assumed my wife automatically knew about me. I mean, she's known me for years, better part of a decade. She knows me, right? I mean, we've talked about some deep, deep things in this relationship. How could she not know what I expect of her? And I assumed that my expectations were her expectations. So when I say continue down this path for as long as it takes, take as long as you need to go down this and ask, just think about, this is the easiest thing to do. Think about the arguments that you've had and then ask yourself what expectations were met and unmet. And I will wager to say that most of the arguments that you've had were because of unmet expectations. And then you have to even be harder on yourself and, you know, and then ask that tough question of, you know, did I really communicate this to the other person prior to the argument, or did I assume they just knew that about me? Because if you answer that, you're probably going to find out, and if you're honest with yourself, you're probably going to find out that honestly, you did not communicate it to them. And now you're upset. Okay. So now I had 9 pages. You may or not have that many. You'll find that the next time you find yourself in an argument, though, you're going to ask yourself in your head, what expectation isn't being met here? The next time you get mad at your spouse, I'm just going to throw this in here. The next time you get angry or upset or frustrated with your spouse, before you lash out at them, I want you to ask yourself, what expectation do I have here that's not being met? What expectation is not being met? And then say, did I communicate that to them? Did they even know that was an expectation I had? Because it's not fair. Let's be honest. It's not fair to the other person if you have an expectation and you never told the other person and then you get mad when they don't meet it. So now, if you get into an argument and all of a sudden the other person is coming at you and you're like taken off guard, so what expectation does this other person have that I'm not meeting? And if you don't immediately know the answer to that, ask if you could pause for a minute and just ask them. Say, hold on just a second. I'm so sorry. I want to catch up. I want to catch up to where you are. I understand that you're frustrated. Understand that you're upset. And guys, I understand. This is hard. This is hard. Because in the heat of the moment, when you feel like you're being attacked, the last thing you want to do is hit a pause button. If you're anything like me, you go into attack mode and you don't play defense, you play offense. And I get very offensive very quickly. And so I've had to learn to hit the pause button and say, okay, help me understand, what expectation did I not meet for you? That will cause them to have to stop and think, like, wait, hold on. What do you mean what expectation is not being met? I just told you, you didn't do the dishes and blah, blah, blah. Okay, what expectation? I just told you, you didn't do the dishes. Okay, hold on. So, you know, if this is an argument that you guys have had multiple times, then yeah, they kind of did already tell you that you should know that that's an expectation. But if this is like a first time that this particular situation's coming up, you can be like, I'm so sorry. If you've communicated that expectation to me before, I don't remember. So I want to apologize right now. How can I fix this? That more often than not, that throws any person off their horse real quick. So now I'm the first to admit it frustrates my wife when I do that to her in the heat of an argument. And there are times that we have to hit the pause and we have to pause the argument for like 30 minutes, an hour, a day even, and then come back to that question. But always go back to the conversation. Always. Don't hit the pause button and then sweep it under the rug, because that is like flipping the switch on the timer on a ticking time bomb. So go back to the conversation. I know it's hard. I know that most people are anti-confrontational, and I really envy you if you are one of those type of people, because I'm not one of those people. I do not shy away from confrontation. I kind of read headlong into it, and I get myself into a lot of trouble. The older I get, you know, I'm pushing 50 years old now, and the older I get, the calmer I get, the more cool-headed I get. But I have to tell you, go back to the conversation. Don't hit the pause button and just ignore it. Go back to it and say, hey, okay, now that we've had some time to think about this, we've had this moment, can you explain to me a little bit better what the expectation was that I didn't meet? Because I want to be better. I want to meet that expectation. Or if you're the person and you need to pause, go back to it and say, okay, I need to come back. I'm a little bit calmer now. And I need to communicate to you what the expectation that I had that you didn't meet. And here's what it is. But then the second part, well, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. There's the second part to that, but we'll get that. Once you've figured out most of your expectations, ask your significant other if you could have a date night. That's how my wife and I do it. You know, we try to have a date night every week. We're empty nesters, and we try to have a date night at least once a week. She and I work together. We're together 24/7, but it's still super important to get away from the house, get away from the work, get away from the computers and the phones, and have a date night. I date my wife. She is my favorite date. And we go have fun, man. We do some really cool shit. So, but if a date night's not your speed, just ask them if you can have a conversation with them. Say, hey, when you get home tonight, man, I've really been doing some self-reflecting. I would really love to have a conversation with you about that. You know, make it your own. That sounds cheesy. That sounds very clinical. Say that the way that you would need to say that, okay? Now, in this conversation, there are a few rules I would ask that you each go off of. Now, unless your spouse is listening to this podcast with you, they're going to be blindsided by this whole conversation. So, rule number one, don't have any expectations of the conversation itself. Okay. By that, I mean, don't expect your partner to show up and shower you with hugs and kisses or affection, nor don't expect them to yell in anger. That's two sides to the same coin. I know people, I am the first person that whenever I ask my wife to have a conversation with me, she is the type of person that I'm going to automatically assume she's going to yell in anger, and she's going to get offended, and she's going to get mad at me. She, on the other hand, if she comes to me and says, hey, we need to have a conversation, she's going to assume that I'm just going to shower her with hugs and kisses and affection. And that may happen. It may not. But go in with no expectations. Go in saying, it doesn't matter what their reaction is, I need to communicate this. So in the future, you know, we could say, hey, remember whenever we had this conversation and I was telling you that I had this expectation, you know, is that expectation unrealistic? Is it not? Because now you've communicated, you've done your part. You've communicated those expectations to them, okay? Rule number two, don't ask them for their expectations. More than likely, like I said, unless they're listening to this episode with you, they're not prepared for this and they could feel blindsided by this request. And they're going to be like, what in the world do you mean by expectations? Like, this is what kind of voodoo, hocus pocus, spiritual mumbo jumbo are you trying to throw at me now? You know, that just, no. You know, I am a deep thinker. My wife is cut and dry. We were talking about, you know, we're both D's on the DISC personality disorder. She is a DS. She is determined and steady and dominant and steady. And I am a DI. And depending on the day, sometimes I'm an ID. They're just very, very close in score. And what the I is I am a people person. Man, I love people. I may not be the most extroverted person out there, but man, I recharge my batteries by hanging out with friends. I recharge my batteries by, I could sit in a Starbucks all day long. Starbucks is not sponsoring this. Starbucks, if you'd like to sponsor this podcast, please hit me up. If I could sit in any restaurant, any cafe, and just being around people, that charges my battery. My wife is the opposite. She can sit in her office in our house with the doors closed for 16 hours a day. And if the phone never rings, she comes out of that office jazzed and ready to take on the world. Like, that charges her battery like nobody's business. On days where, you know, she knows that she has to go with me to charge my batteries and be in a social setting, man, when we get home, she needs to retreat. She needs to go and hide out. You know? So yeah, I mean, just two different personality people. So we don't want to blindside, getting back to rule two. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there for a minute. Getting back to rule two, don't ask for their expectations in this conversation unless they know it's coming. Like I said, if they're listening to this with you, in this case, I want you both to set a time on your calendar. Set a time on your calendar to have this conversation. Say, I need a day. I need a week. I need 2 weeks to come up with my list of expectations, but put it on the calendar and keep that time. Okay. Rule number three. Actually, this is more like rule number 2B. When you're finished telling them your expectations, ask them if they have any questions. More than likely, they're going to stop you for questions when you're giving them. But if they sat there quietly, ask them. When you're done, just say, hey, you didn't say much. You know, are there any expectations that you feel are unrealistic or unobtainable in your eyes? Then don't react to their response. I don't care if they call you a ridiculous fool. Don't react. Okay? This is hard. Again, I understand how hard it is to feel attacked and not retaliate. Their feelings in that moment are just as valid as yours. And we'll get into, in future episodes, we'll get into how to deal with those kind of feelings of, like, you know, why do you just hear somebody give their opinion on something or their expectations of something and you immediately get mad or offended or upset? Like, we'll dig into that later. Not on this episode, but in future episodes. So their feelings are just as valid as yours. So don't react. You know, just if you disagree with them, just ask them politely to explain why they feel the way that they feel. And again, don't react. Just wait. Let them explain. Let them think about it, okay? Because sometimes you might have an expectation that you thought was just minuscule. Let's go back to the turn on the blinker in the car. You know, you have an expectation for them to use the blinker, turn on the blinker, you know, 45 feet before they make a right hand turn every time they're in the car. It just something that's that ridiculous. And to them, they're like, what in the world kind of BS is this? And if they treat it like that, let them. It's okay. Their feelings, because I guarantee you that's going to ruminate. That's going to sit in their head for a while, and they're going to come back eventually if they're any kind of, you know, human being at all. And they're going to come back and be like, wait a minute. why did I act that way? You know? So just remember, you can't control other people. So don't try. I think so often we get so frustrated, so angry, so upset because we have this misguided thing in our heads thinking that we can change them. We can change that person. Yeah, they're this way now, but man, that they love me. They'll change. No. Do people change? Absolutely. I'm living proof of it. My wife and I are still together to this day because I changed. Because the thought of losing her scared the shit out of me. And I came around. I start digging deep into myself, figuring myself out. And guess what? As I figured myself out and I started apologizing and talking to her about my shit in my life that I was sitting there, you know, dealing with, all of a sudden it caused her to start digging. And she's like, you know what? I deal with that same thing. I had that same expectation. I didn't even know I had that expectation. And she started to apologize for me, to me. And we've had some amazing, over the years, we've had some amazing, and that started reconciling our marriage. Like our marriage did a 180. I mean, we literally went from the brink of divorce to we now have the most amazing marriage. Is it perfect? No. We fight over TV shows, people. TV shows. That's dumb. We're not perfect. We still fight. We still argue. We still have unrealistic expectations of each other. But guess what? We talk about it now. And it's amazing. So I want to give you some hope there. All right. So that was rule 2A. Rule number 3, you know, ask them if they have any questions. Rule number 4, if you feel the conversation taking turn for the worse, you can do one of two things. Number 1, ask for clarification on why they feel the way they feel. Or you could ask if you could pause the conversation for a bit and take time needed to cool off. But again, come back to the conversation. Now, this is where having a relationship coach such as myself can come in handy. We can bring the conversation back without it being awkward. Because I know that so many of you, if you were to leave the conversation paused, you're like, whew, dodged that bullet. Okay, good. I don't have to do that anymore. I did my part. No, you didn't. Get back in the game and have that conversation. If you are that type of person and you feel like you can't do that, get a relationship coach or a counselor or a therapist. Therapist might be extreme unless you are having like real marriage issues, really, really bad, deep marriage issues. Therapist might be extreme, but you know, I suggest a therapist to everybody. I think everybody needs to be in therapy. I think every couple needs to be in couples therapy. My wife and I, we go to a couples therapist all the time. Even though that we coach, we coach people. It's just kind of help us keep our, you know, it's the old saying, you know, the cobbler's kids wear, you know, have no shoes. You know, he's so busy making shoes for everybody else in town, he didn't have time to make shoes for his own kids. Same thing. You know, we get so busy, you know, coaching other couples and helping other couples that sometimes we can get busy with it and it's just exhausting and we just don't want to work on ourselves because we're tired of it. So having a relationship coach such as myself can definitely help. Again, my name's Bobby V. I'm your relationship coach. And remember to subscribe to us wherever you listen to us. And please leave us a 5-star rating. We would love that. If for some reason you cannot give us a 5-star rating, please, I want to hear from you. You can email me directly at rev@tangledheartspod.com. REVV@tangledheartspod.com. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear your stories. Email me your stories. Tell me your story. Ask me questions. And future episodes, we're going to be answering your questions for you all live on the show. So you can follow us on Twitter at Hearts Tangled and everywhere else at Tangled Hearts Podcast. So Twitter or X, I know it's X now, people. I can't. It'll forever be Twitter. Hearts Tangled on Twitter and everywhere else is Tangled Hearts Podcast. So your support means the world to me. And remember, in this crazy, messed up world, three things still remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love y'all. Until next time, have a good one.